Been on the commission for a really long time, and we finally got the music, and I was telling my mom, I was like, I really want to sing it sometime after Easter, because, you know, it's the commission, Jesus ascending to heaven, and I said, unfortunately, I didn't know the number of days that he was here before he ascended into heaven, so she enlightened me. Acts 1, 3 says he was here for 40 days, and, you know, he demonstrated to his followers that he truly was alive and taught them, basically prepared them for, you know, the task of telling the world about Christ. And so that's what this song is all about. Why I brought up the 40 days, though, is I was like, okay, so we celebrated Easter this year, April the 9th, so that means the 19th, which is just this Friday, would have been 40 days. So actually, with all the schedule conflicts we had, that we got this today, this is perfect. This is just in time.
Jesus Christ has done as he did there on Calvary's cross to die not for his sin, but to die for our sin, and to be buried and to rise again the third day. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Then 40 days later, he was seen and as he ascended into heaven. And he said, wait here for the promise of the Father. And 10 days after that, the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down, and since then, everyone that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within them instantly and stays with us. And we'll see him a little bit later here in our message. But for right now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. While you're turning there, I read of an old mountaineer who had spent almost all of his living life there at the foot of a great mountain he had never climbed. One day a friend took him in his automobile up a new road to a lofty summit. As the old man surveyed the glorious view of all in all directions, the tears ran down his weather-beaten face, and he managed to say, "Just think, I have lived in sight of this peak nearly all my days and almost missed it." You think about that. It's possible to live almost all of our days close to great truth and yet miss it. We don't want to do that this morning, the truth of what God has for us. And I believe that we're living in a time, the end times, the last days, in which that's kind of a characteristic, as we'll see. Here in 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and the list goes on there in description of it. Notice verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Having a form of godliness, they may look, they may even proclaim that they're saved, that they're following God, they may even go to church on Sunday. They have a form of God, but they deny the power thereof. And it's another statement in verse 7, even more important, and that is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we're talking about today here. And I believe that that is part of our people in our society today. There are many people that are learning, and there's knowledge at our fingertips instantly in so many different ways, from whether it be our phones, our computers, just the amount of information that is trafficked every day is astounding. All of this knowledge and people are learning constantly and yet never able to come to the truth. What is the truth? Matter of fact, some people don't even believe that there is real truth. They argue that it's relative. You have your truth, I have my truth, you live by yours, I'll live by mine, let's leave each other alone. Tolerance is what is preached. And so many Christians have bought into that. Folks, let me tell you, there's only one truth, and God gave it. Amen. And we need to understand that, and it's not something that we debate, it's something that we accept by faith. And when we preach it that way as well, there's only one authority in this pulpit, and it's not a person, it's this word right here. That's the authority that we go by, the authority, the truth of God's word. So we live in this world full of information at our fingertips, and yet people are ever learning and never able to come until the knowledge of the truth. But God's desire for everyone is that they would be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2:4. That's what God desires. He wants us all to come to the knowledge of the truth, and specifically, that was the truth about His Son, the Lord Jesus, that one mediator between God and man that He has provided. Jesus' number one purpose for coming is seen within this particular theme. If you'll note what he says in John 18:37, Jesus is before Pilate, and just before he's crucified, and Pilate's asking him questions, and Pilate asked him, he said, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, he says, "Thou sayest that I'm a king." And then he made this statement, he says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be king." No, that's not what it says. "To this end I was born, to this cause I came into the world, that I may seek and save that which is lost." That's not what it says either. The Lord did do that. But notice his number one purpose. He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." You see, Jesus' number one purpose in coming was to reveal the truth. And we have that in so many different ways that we'll see in a moment. But the truth is important. We must know the truth because Satan is the father of lies. He is part of the deception of this world. Matter of fact, his major attack upon us as people is in the form of deception. From the very first in the Garden of Eden, that is what he did. He was the subtle serpent that deceived Eve. The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Right on to the end, after he has been cast into the into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom of Christ, he is going to be loosed for a season, it says, and he shall go about to deceive those that are born during the millennial kingdom in their natural bodies. He will deceive. That his way. He is a liar from the beginning. His work is deception. So truth is important. The best way to recognize truth, well, let me put it this way. What's the best way to recognize a crooked stick? It's by laying a straight stick next to it. If we know the truth, we'll be able to recognize the lie, that which is crooked. And so we need to understand the importance of the truth. Not only is the truth important, but the truth is effective. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, and you should know this and recognize this verse. It says there, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, shall set you free." We're at salvation. We're set free from the bondage of sin. And we're set free by that truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us. At sanctification, his sanctifying work transforms our lives. Remember Romans 12, 2? He said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." All right, renewing our mind with what? It's with the Word of God, with the truth that we're to put in our minds. And it makes a difference. It changes us. It transforms us into a different person. There is a constant battle going on between God's truth and the devil's truth. You're in the midst of it. All around you, whether at work or at school, whether in your home, or whether in your own mind, where most of the battle is, it is a battle for truth between God's truth and the devil's lies. We need to understand, if we're going to stand on the truth, we need to understand three things. And I want to share with you this morning the identification of the truth, the communication of that truth, and the application of that truth. I've entitled the message this morning, "The Truth About Truth." Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your truth this morning. We're here today, and you have a purpose for us. I pray that we would not ignore what you have to say, but that we would listen carefully, that we would respond in such a way that would be pleasing to you. Father, you want to do a work in our hearts, and I pray that that would help. And help me to share very clearly your truth by your Holy Spirit's power. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. We're going to look, first of all, here at John chapter 1. So if you'll flip over with me to John chapter 1, you should be kind of familiar with these verses here too. As we see the identification of truth, Jesus bears witness to the truth in three different ways. The first one here in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now we know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because in verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." We have here the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that took on human flesh. He was the one that was with God. He was God, is God. And we have him taking on human flesh. He is the one that reveals the God the Father. But notice here it says at the end of verse 14 that he's full of grace and truth. In verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So we have here the truth that through his life example, Jesus revealed unto us what truth is. He is the living Word of God. He is an example, then, of truth. Secondly, we have the revealed Word of God to us, the Word of truth. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21, it refers to the Scripture of truth. And that's what God's Word is. It is the truth. Pilate asked Jesus in that same conversation that we were talking about. He asked Jesus, what is truth? A lot of people have been asking that in the years following today as well. What is truth? Jesus had answered that in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is the truth. It is what we have, a revelation of what God has revealed unto us of in his written word of what the truth is. And then not only through his life example and through his revealed word do we have truth, but he also gave us an identified truth through his imparted spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I spoke about it just a little while ago in John chapter 14, if you all want to look there. We're told about the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, that's going to come. And every one of us, when we got saved, immediately the Holy Spirit of God took residence in our heart, in our life, and he is the resident truth teacher. Notice what we read here in John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. Let's stop right there. The word another here is a word that it means another of the same kind. Another Comforter, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be our Comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth, it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Shall be in you is because this statement was made prior to the time when the Holy Spirit of God came down at Pentecost and started indwelling Christians as they were saved. And so we have then the resident truth teacher residing in us to help us to understand and to recognize truth. In chapter 16 of John, in verse 13, we read, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, etc. So the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, when he comes in and abides in us at salvation, he helps us to comprehend the truth of God's word that is given unto us. He is the resident truth teacher. He is the one that opens our eyes, that illumines us to the truth. So we have the living Word of God that revealed the truth. We have the written Word of God that tells us the truth. And we have the Holy Spirit living within us to illumine our minds to understand the truth. Giving us his Word of truth was his ultimate purpose for coming to reveal the truth. Secondly, we see the communication of truth. This communication of truth can be broken down to three parts as well. The first one has to do with revelation. I'm not talking about the book. I'm talking about what it means to reveal something. excuse me. The official definition of revelation is the supernatural act of God whereby he communicates truth to man to which we would not otherwise know. That's what he has done. Revealing the truth. God through his work to reveal the truth to mankind. Again, we saw Jesus' number one purpose in coming was to bear witness, that is to reveal the truth of God. It is revealed in three ways. First of all, it's revealed by what God spoke unto us. We have recorded in the scriptures what he spoke. It says, thus saith the Lord. And he spoke unto those men, and they recorded what God said to us. So it's orally that he has shared to us as he spoke it. It is visually as it illustrated by everything around us. I remember Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It is the world around us that shows us truth about God that we can know. Revelation 1 describes that we can know even about his Godhead. There's the truth of God that we can understand by looking at the things that are made, the things that he has created in this world. It is illustrated by that visually. And we also have, of course, the written form of God's word, the truth. Specifically, we see it written by God himself in some parts. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, are there in Exodus 20, written by the finger of God, so to say, as he inscribed into stone and cut it out and gave those tablets to Moses. There's the truth of God's word that he has given to us. So it was orally, it was visually, it was given to us in written form. Today, since Jesus is not physically here with us, we can't see him as the living word of God, but we can have and do have the written word of God as the truth. Let me tell you something, is nothing more precious than a person can have and own is a copy of the word of God. But let me tell you something, just having a copy of the word of God right here is not going to do anything. Having a copy of the word of God sitting on your desk or your table at home is not going to do anything until you open it and read it and heed it to obey. That's not going to make any difference in your life. And the same thing is true in a church service such as this. You can come and sit down in a church service, sing the hymns and sit quietly and go out and say, thank you, Pastor. But if you don't listen to learn and then do what you have learned, it's not affecting you at all. And so we must understand the importance of it there. God has revealed, in the revelation, he has revealed his truth to us. In 2 Timothy, back over, if you want to flip there to where we started, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, chapter 3 and verse 16, and part of what Steve read for us this morning in Scripture, we have the inspiration of that truth of God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, here's for purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete or mature, truly furnished, that is, fully equipped unto all good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're to do. And so it is the truth of God's word that is inspired to us in this inspiration. It's dealing with man receiving and recording God's truth and doing it without error. God guided every step of it there. Inspired means God breathed. It means that God is the source of the information that's recorded in his word, and God has preserved it intact, credibly, accurately for us today. We have the truth of God's word. There are many other religions that have claimed the truth, and yet the versions of their books, whether it be in Mormonism or others, have had to be revised to get rid of the contradictions or errors, not God's word. God's word came from one source, and that's God himself. Even though he used different men to write over a period of time, he, as we'll see through the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit of God that took the truth that he wanted to communicate, and he used certain men to record that truth accurately even to the point of using their literary style in order to communicate that truth, yet he controlled it all and moved them to write exactly what he wanted recorded. The word move there is an interesting term. It could be described like a ship that is being, without a sail, that's being moved by the currents that it's in. And that's exactly what God did to the men that recorded his word. The Holy Spirit of God moved them to record as what God wanted to be communicated. And that's what inspiration is all about. No errors and no inconsistencies. All is the truth of what God wanted to communicate. Inspiration, inspired by God. And then there's also, as we talked just a moment ago, the illumination. And John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That illumination, that work of the Holy Spirit, enables us to understand the truth of his word that has been recorded. If you'll look with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think we have an example of this that's given, illumination by the Holy Spirit of God that reveals unto us to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, begin reading in verse 9. It's a familiar verse. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We sometimes read that verse, and of course we know that heaven of what God has prepared for us is more than we could ever imagine. It goes beyond. But God has revealed certain things about his heaven that we can't understand. He went on to say, excuse me, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that is the man that's not saved, "he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We have an example here that when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God that comes into our life, that illumines us, that opens our eyes and reveals certain truths of God to us that he wants us to be aware of. And yet those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not have that Spirit, and therefore when they read the Word of God or when they hear it taught unto them, it seems to be foolishness unto them. They don't really understand what it's talking about because they do not have the Spirit of God living within them. What they need first is to come to a faith of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the gospel, when it is presented, it's the Word of God that brings that faith to put their trust in what Jesus did only as their salvation, and then they would have the Holy Spirit that would take them further in the next steps of study. We have that truth, that illumination that God has given unto us. So God communicates his truth by revelation, revealing it. Inspiration, he has controlled and so forth and given it to us, and illumination, opening our eyes to understand. And then I come to the last part. If you've not gotten anything else of this message, I want you to get this right here. Now pause with that and let that sink in. Make sure you understand. It's the application of truth, the ability to appropriate the scriptures into our daily experience. This is the purpose for Jesus coming and revealing truth to us, bringing us the truth of God, not just to know it, but in order to let that truth change our lives, to transform us. Many years ago, Vicki and I lived in South Carolina. Where is Vicki? Is she in here? There she is, okay. I got to tell it the truth here now. No. We lived in South Carolina. Our two oldest sons were just little kids in those days. And we lived in an area that did not have any big shopping malls or anything like that. So we had to go to a town a bit ways away to get to a mall. First time we ever did that, the boys were amazed at an escalator. Oh, look at, what is, you know, they stepped on that thing, it rode up. They wanted to just go up and down, go up and down. That's all they wanted to do. You'd think they went to State Fair. They'd never gone to that either. But anyway, there's a similar story that's told to us in humor by Jerry Clowder. He told about a sheltered man who came to the city for the first time. Now, if you've heard this, just hang on with me. In the lobby of the beautiful hotel, he stared at these incredible machines which kept opening and closing. We call them elevators. He was amazed at what took place right before his eyes. Two men entered the machine dressed in suits, and when the doors opened, three men came out in shorts. One man got in with three suitcases and then was completely gone when the doors opened again. The excitement of this machine got the best of him when an old and wrinkled lady walked into the machine and shut the doors. In just a few moments, a gorgeous young lady exited from the machine. He couldn't contain himself any longer, so he yelled across the lobby to his son, "Sammy, quick, go get your mama." Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was machines that could transform us that simply and quickly? But you know, the idea of transformation in our lives is exactly what God is interested in. He wants to make a change in us. There's not a single living individual that gets saved that says, "I'm exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ." Matter of fact, we would have to be honest and say, even though God has been working on me, He is still working on me because I haven't arrived to that point yet. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul made that clear, and he said he had not apprehended for that which the Lord had made the plan for. But this one thing he did, he ended up saying, "I press toward the mark." In other words, I am aiming toward, I am working toward, I am putting forth the effort to seek to accomplish that which God intends for me. And that's what we need to each one be willing to say, "Lord, whatever you want to make of my life, however you want me to testify of Jesus Christ, I am willing. I surrender to that plan today." That's what God wants of each one of us. It's not a problem with revelation. It's not a problem of inspiration. It's not even a problem of illumination from the standpoint of teaching and the Holy Spirit available to help us. But the problem is application when we don't apply God's word, God's truth that He shares with us. It's possible to grow old with the Lord and not grow up in the Lord. Maturity. We might have a long standing years, but how far have we gone down the road of accomplishment with the Lord, what He's doing in us? It's possible that the Word of God can go through us many times, but have not changed us ever. You may say, I read through the Bible every year. But has the Bible done anything to change in your life? When you look back to last year this time, can you testify and say, you know, I remember the things that God has taught me and led me over the past year, even since January, and I can see how He is making me more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. Progress. Not just saying, one day I'll be in heaven, but Lord, right now, how am I responding to Your truth? How am I responding to Your word that You give us? The story is told about a converted cannibal on one of the South Sea Islands. He was sitting by a large pot reading his Bible when an anthropologist approached him and asked, "What are you doing?" The ex-cannibal replied, "I'm reading my Bible." To which the anthropologist scoffed at and said, "Don't you know that modern man has rejected this book? It's nothing but a pack of lies. You shouldn't waste your time reading it." The cannibal then looked at him over from head to toe and said, "If it wasn't for this Bible, you would be in this pot." You see, when the Lord saves us, He changes us. Even his appetite was changed. God can change us if we surrender to the process. That's what He wants to do from the day that we get saved until the day that we leave out of this earth, either by death or rapture. God wants to work on our hearts to change us into the image of His Son. So the battle is going on every day for truth. Will you live by God's truth, or will you live by your truth? Will your life illustrate a knowledge of God's truth only, or will it illustrate an appropriation of that truth? You're doing what He says. Knowledge minus application is hypocrisy. Knowledge plus application is transformation. And that's what God wants. I hope that that's what you intend. Every head bow, please. Jesus came into this world to testify of the truth so that we may be, first of all, saved, and secondly, sanctified, changed, transformed. My question simply is, are you? Are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He came to reveal the truth. God wants, is not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. He is desirous that we all come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is that there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He is the only answer for our sin problem. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Christian, if you have, are you surrendering to what God shows you on a regular basis so that He can transform your life to be what He wants? Father, I pray that as we have listened to this message, that we would surrender to Your direction and please You instead of ourselves. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're gonna